Kultur um 5.
Die amerikanische Noise Band Facts, die haben am Mittwoch an der Rotonde gespielt. Ihren letzten Album Wish Defense aus unter anderem dafür bekannt, dass das letzte Werk zu sehen, dass seine legendären Tontechniker Steve Albini abgeholt hat. Der Sänger Brian Case hat sich für eine der Show Zeitgoal mit Nicola Kalmes über Songtexte, Gedichte und verstorbene Kollegen zu schwätzen.
You hail from a Chicago home to an extremely rich underground music scene. East and West Coast hypes seem to rise and fall, but Chicago's music scene weathers every storm. What makes Chicago its music scene what it is?
I think it's the fact that there's so much music happening in Chicago, and it's all sharing spaces and community. There's great jazz, there's experimental music, there's rock music, there's indie music, there's so many things happening, and everyone is always together and supportive. It's not competitive. It's just a really good community.
Speaking of community, you've been in many bands. It seems that the older one gets, the harder it is to play with people you don't gel 100% with. I don't mean to say you didn't gel with the people in your previous bands. I mean, generally speaking. But what glues Jonathan, Noah, and you together beyond music?
We've been friends for 20 years. You know, just growing up in the same spaces and having the same interests and just spending time together, we formed a friendship before we ever formed a musical relationship. So we like to be around each other, and we know how to be around each other and how to give each other space. And I think that just helps the music in, you know, every way.
The way I see it, if Facts were a building, the foundation would be the extremely solid rhythm section, and then your vocals and especially your guitar playing add layers of colorful abstraction to the songs. None of it
seems straightforward
or predictable. You really make sounds they shouldn't be able to do. Do you surprise yourself every now and then in the songwriting process?
I try to. I'm always trying to find some new sound that is inspiring or strange, or just find a new way to, you know, continue to play the guitar and keep it interesting.
Facts drummer Noah Lager, he has quite the resume, you know? He used to be in the Blue Man group. Did you ever get to see him perform in blue?
I did, yeah. Well, he wasn't an actor, he was a musician. So he would be above the actors in the band pit, and he would have like neon makeup on and a like skin tight suit. And I got to see it. It was awesome.
What leads to band member changes generally, and perhaps also specifically in Facts? Jonathan Van Herrick replaces Alianic Kalaba on bass. He played guitar in the first record.
Yes. Jonathan left right before that first record came out to focus on some family things and just to take a break. We had been in a band before that called Disappears, and we were very busy and always touring, and I think he wanted to just take some time and be with his family. And then Aliana joined, and then kind of similar for Aliana, she wanted to move out of Chicago and focus on some other things and start, you know, some kind of different musical projects. So when she left, Jonathan decided that he was ready to play music again, which was great for us because we already had a language and a rapport, and we like spending time together, so we got lucky.
Jonathan plays the bass 6 on Wish Defense. It's an unusual 6-string bass. What can you tell us about the instrument?
He only plays it on one song. Mm-hmm. It's an instrument that is sort of the register of it is between a bass and a guitar. It's cool. Robert Smith used it a lot in the early Cure. It just has a different register, and it's you know, like playing chords on it sounds very different, and we always mess around with it, so it was... We were just trying to find a way to get it on the record because we like the sound of it so much.
The liner notes of Wish Defense say, remember Steve Albini, but also Justin Cierno, Steve Sostak, and Rick Froberg. Mm-hmm. Steve Albini's death, who's passed away in the process of recording your album, has been widely commented. I wanted to ask if you could say a few words about Justin Cierno, Steve Sostak, and Rick Froberg.
Yeah, Steve Sostak was in a band in Chicago in the 90s, 2000s called Sweep the Leg Johnny. We played shows together, and he passed, and he was a great guy. Rick Froberg was in Drive Like Jehu and Obits and Hot Snakes, and he was someone that Disappears traveled a lot with, and we just got along very well. We were good friends, and we played lots of shows together. And Justin Chirno was one of my best friends. He played in Unrest and Pitch Blend and a great band called Turian Machine and Panthers. And he was, you know, responsible for all of my bands being able to go to New York and have a free place to stay and stay for days, no matter how long we were there for. And he was so supportive and just such a good friend. And we just, he's the kind of person that I met him and 5 minutes later, we were just thick as thieves. He's a really special person. So, you know, that's more just about, you know, just letting people know, like, lasts forever. And these people in your life, if you, you know, you should tell them how you feel, because one day they're just going to be gone.
I'd like to read some poetry to you, if that's all right.
Yeah.
Let everything happen to you, beauty and terror. Just keep going. No feeling is final. That's Rainer Maria Rilke, who you reference in the album opener, yeah. Talking Haunted. He's a very popular poet among post-punk music lovers. What's your relationship to his writings?
Just inspired, really. Yeah. I think it's kind of the way I like to write lyrics, where it's, there's a few different ways you can look at it, or a few different entry points for the meaning, and it's very simple and stark, and yeah, I don't know. I mean, that small passage means so much. You know, it can go so many different directions, and it says a lot in a very small amount of space, and that's something I try to do when I'm writing.
The last words on on Wish Defense are, youth is a thrill when it's over. It sounds like a conversation between you and a younger you. I'm not sure if I'm right with that.
Yeah, correct.
Do you sometimes talk to your younger self? What kind of conversations do you have?
I do a lot of reflecting. Because I've been doing music so long and going to some of the same places that I've been, like this place that we're playing tonight, I don't think I've been here for 20 years. So I have, like, you know, I feel like I'm constantly revisiting, like, different parts of my life. And that song in particular is about just sort of a conversation with yourself about where are you now and, where were you before, so...
So you've gone full circle multiple times.
Yes. I'm going in circles.
Lastly, I've got a theory I'd like to run by you, but you don't really need to comment on it if you don't feel like it. It's about subcultural identity. You know? Subcultural identity helps people develop a sense of self, especially true for music. What music you listen to influences the way you talk, move, and dress, and... Musical genres and genre identification have become a bit of a thing of the past, though. But what's called identity politics is making headlines. Do you think both are connected, that the loss of subcultural musical identity is connected to people identifying more strongly with, say, the color of their skin or their country or their religion?
I don't know. That's interesting. I feel like, in one sense, like the way that we, when I was younger, the way that you found people was through music and through going to clubs and, you know, a shared experience. And I think as the ability to not have to leave your house to find those people has become easier with, you know, social media and the internet, and, you know, you can have access to anything at your fingertips. Like, you know, I remember having to go, and we'd go to the record store every couple of days just to look through it to find things, and now it's all in your pocket. So I feel like the social need to go out and find people has been replaced with connecting with people through the shared experience that is now social media or a political movement or whatever it ends up being for you.
You get to see many young bands too as well in Chicago, I suppose?
Yeah, lots of young bands. My son is in a band called Lifeguard, and they actually played here last summer. So I've got a privileged access to a very young scene in Chicago, which is cool. There's so many good bands and so many young people who are doing things differently than my generation did, and it's really cool to see it just, like, become a thing.
Are you worried about the future of this generation?
No, I'm inspired by them. I think they're going to fix things.
That's beautiful.
Soweit den Brian Case, Sänger von der US-amerikanischen Noise Band Fax, am Gespräch mit Nicola Kolmes. Und das war dann noch schon für heute bei Kultur um 5. Um Mikro für die letzte Stunde war der Joey Bierchen. All Beiträge von heute von dir bei unserem Sitz 100,7.lu oder an unserer neuen App. Hallo um 6 geht es ein Panorama an Döno bringt dich den Mike.